Hear these words of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord says, don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. Welcome to today's service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church. As we continue our journey through Lent, we are embarking on that new path that God has for us ahead. I invite you, if you're present here in person, to grab those pew pads, fill those out, pass them down the pew, pass them back, see who's worshiping, catch up on the important information in there. You probably recognize as you came in, some things are different outside there in the narthex, and we have the train show this weekend here in Fellowship Hall again. So after worship, invite you to check out the setups in there with the train show. Presbyterian youth are doing fundraiser today, so the funds for fellowship time, and also if you want lunch as well, they've got some barbecue, some snacks, beverages. Feel free to go in there, support the youth as well. Otherwise, fellowship time, hang around out there in the narthex, venture into the parlor for a time with sermon discussion, taking a look at picking apart what the pastor said during the sermon, critiquing the pastor. I disagree with that. Whatever it may be. This past week here, we served loaves and fishes, served 177 people with that. So it's great to continue to be a part of that ministry as it continues to grow. We're also helping out during Holy Week for the warming shelter. We're going to be doing a warming shelter meal, and it's on Monday, Thursday. With it being over the Easter weekend there, they've made some changes on the meals. So if you're helping out with that, please take a look at the sign-up sheet and notice the differences of food needs to be in a little bit earlier, a little bit differently. Check that out. Our Wednesday Lenten studies at noon and evening have been very refreshing. There's been some great discussion. Some of that discussion has said, hey, can we continue this after Lent? Do we have to stop? So we may start doing something like that on a more regular basis throughout the year. But for this being our final week of Lent, the Wednesday evening gathering is not going to be at Bob's on the Avenue. They already had that booked there at the cafe. So this Wednesday night, we're going to be at Pizza Ranch out on West Johnson Street. So join us Wednesday evening, 6:30, at Pizza Ranch for meal and discussion. Or if you don't want to eat, just come for the discussion. That's great as well. Hard to believe that we're making it to the end of our Lenten journey. We're about ready next week. We begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday, processional of the palms. We've got the fish derby that's going to be going on, one great hour of sharing fish banks. So please, you know, bring those in, fill those up. Remember the challenges that are out there. You can have the heaviest fish, the best dressed fish, most active fish. And if you've been taking pictures of your fish along the way, please send those into the office. Send in those pictures of your fish. We need those so that way we can be sharing those pictures. But when you send in those pictures, we don't mean pictures of your fish like this. No, pictures of the fish banks. That's what we want, where the fish banks are active. Monday, Thursday is going to be another amazing service here, gathering around the table, sharing that holy meal, remembering that night that Jesus met with his disciples before he gave up his life willingly. Easter Sunday, we've got the Easter breakfast, worship, celebrating the resurrection. Many different things happening, so please be preparing your hearts, your minds, your lives for celebrating not only Holy Week, but celebrating the resurrection each and every day of our life, and not just this one time a year. Make it so that it lasts. Create memories that will last throughout the year, throughout the rest of your life, so that the light of Christ shines brightly on all those whom God places in your path. With that in mind, let us prepare our hearts for worship as the light of Christ is brought in and as the bell is tolled.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. When all we have hoped for and trusted in has let us down, there is Christ who reaches out to us. When the world seems dark and despair threatens to close in upon us, there is Christ reaching out for us. Come and let us worship the Lord who is always ready to reach out to us. We humbly come before the Lord in hope and faith. Amen. We come into your presence, O Lord, with so many burdens and concerns on our hearts. Help us to be open to your words of healing and restoration. Bring us closer to you. Enable us to discern your will for us, that we may serve you more faithfully by serving others in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But when we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. Patient Lord, we find it easy to blame others and others' circumstances for the things which happen in our lives. Too often we want you to be a magic presence which will, with the wave of a wand, cure our ills, give us success and happiness. But we don't necessarily want to take responsibility for our attitudes and actions. Forgive us when we are so busy placing blame that we don't recognize your presence and love for us. Free us from placing our own desires first and foremost. Let us take a few moments to offer our silent confessions. Forgive us, O God, and restore us. Help us to see the many ways in which you are working in the world for peace and justice, and enable us to be part of that ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let go of your fears. God has forgiven you and offered to you God's healing love. Accept this free gift, for it is given for you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please share the peace of Christ with those around you. Today's psalm is a song of ascent, reminding us of our new resurrection life and the promise of joy, even in the midst of painful circumstances. Let us proclaim that the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad as we read responsively Psalm 126. When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like he had been dreaming. We had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at that time among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better, like dry streams in the desert waste. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain.
Today's gospel reading comes to us from John's gospel, the 12th chapter, the first 8 verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Have you ever heard the word Messiah?
No.
No? You have? Maybe have. So the word Messiah comes from a word, and it sometimes means anointed. What do you think anointed means? Have you ever heard of anointed? That's when you put either oil or special perfume or something on someone, a lotion. And in the time of Jesus, people would do that before someone for a special reason, before maybe someone was going to become the king, or some, they would put that on as a special reminder for everyone. They were anointed that they were there. Well, you heard the story about Mary and Martha today, and Jesus was coming to their house to eat again. Martha's been cooking a lot of food. She liked to cook a lot of food. That was one of her gifts that she did for people. She welcomed them in and she would make them food. And this time, what did Mary do? Did you hear that story? Did you listen to that part? She did something to Jesus' feet. Did you hear what that was? Do you remember? She had beautiful perfume. Have you ever smelled anyone's beautiful perfume? Yeah, a little bit goes a long way. I used to tell my boys that when they would be in the bathroom. A little bit goes a long way, but she had lots and lots and lots of it. And it was very important. And she used it all up on Jesus. Now, Jesus gave lots of gifts out. He was teaching with people. He was talking to people. He was making them feel good. He was healing people. He was giving gifts all the time. Did people give him lots of gifts? I don't remember hearing lots about that. Do you? You think it's no, probably? Yeah, maybe. But Mary just gave him this very important gift. And you know, Martha gave him a gift too. She made him dinner, didn't she? Yeah, she made him dinner. So one of the reasons why I like this story is it reminds me that we can give Jesus gifts. Jesus gives us all these gifts. God gives us all these gifts, but we can give those gifts back. And the gift that we can give is a gift that Mary gave in one of our stories from a long time ago. Do you know what that is? She listened to Jesus. Do you remember the story when she listened to Jesus? She sat at his feet and she listened to all of his words. And she was asking questions and she wanted to know more. That's one of the gifts that we can give to Jesus too. We can come to church and we can learn more about Jesus. We can learn about those stories and we can tell them to other people so that they can learn about those stories and tell them to other people too. That's a lot of gifts we're going to be giving out, isn't it? Yeah. So sometimes we think our gifts aren't very important and not very big, but the gift that we can give, are you waving to your brother? Yeah. The gift that we can give, you can give that gift to your brother. You listen to the stories now, and when you're reading stories at night, you can read him the stories and talk to him about God and about Jesus. That's the gift you can give to your brother. Yeah. You're starting already? That's so awesome. That is so awesome. So we have gifts that we can give, and I want you to remember that this is a special time for us to think about all those stories of Jesus so that we can make sure we can give those to people and that they can know the good news of Jesus. Let's take some time and let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We know that we sometimes forget about all of those gifts. And we especially forget that we can have those gifts to give back to you and to the people around us, to everyone that we meet. We ask that you would help us to share your love and your story each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We begin each season of Lent with the reminder, the words, from dust you were created, to dust you will return. And over the years, I've had many people come up to me and go, oh, Pastor, that's just so morbid. Why? Ugh, I don't like that. It doesn't feel good. Why is it? Why is it that so many struggle talking about their death? I mean, okay, granted, that's not something that, you know, everybody's excited. Hey, guess what? I'm going to die. Let me tell you. No, that's not the way that we want to talk, no. But yet, we also shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't be awkward about talking about our death. As we come closer to the end of this year's Lenten journey, as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection, we do need to revisit our mortality. We are, each one of us, going to die. We need to make the most of this life. And I do believe that when we live this life faithfully and fully, it makes entering into life beyond this life so much easier. Western culture likes to maintain a perception of being able to keep death at a distance. Death is a long ways off. Oh, we're extending our lifespans. We're doing more and more in technology and medicine to be able to provide a better quality of life for longer. Death and dying are seen as failings of our bodies, imperfections, flaws of modern technology. We say that people have lost their battle against cancer or other diseases. We say that there are survivors who have beat cancer. There's a realization of the harm that this is causing long term, and a need for a new way to view life and death, a way in which we can enter into the final stages of our life on this earth, whenever they are to come, with grace and gratitude. We need to live each day as if it's our last. And the best way for us to be able to accept the reality of death is to live life fully. So we gather together for worship and we hear the scriptures. We call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptic gospels because they're all very similar, likely based off of same basic story. But John's gospel is a little bit different. John 10:10 says, I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so they could have life to the fullest. That is what we want, and that's the theological focus of John's gospel. To live life to the fullest means that we embrace the full story of Jesus as our Messiah. His presence at creation, his birth, in which he took on human form, his life and his teachings, his death on the cross, his resurrection 3 days later, and his anticipated return and the renewal of all of creation. Today's text brings us face to face with mortality, the stench of death, and yet the hope of the resurrection. It tells us how we are to live life to the fullest. Now, to live life to the fullest, it means more than just knowing and believing the gospel. It's more than that cognitive neck up affirmation. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe those are good creeds, good doctrines that we need to affirm. But this full life, it's more than just that. We can't stop there. It means that we have to embrace all that those doctrines and those creeds mean. and thereby how our lives have an impact on other lives and on the kingdom as a whole. This relates to the intentional change on how we say the Lord's Prayer here today for our final Sunday of Lent, in which we'll be saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives as in heaven." How is God's kingdom and God's will being done in our lives? John Calvin wrote that the highest honor in the church is not government, but service. So for all of those polity geeks and everything, sorry, my apologies, but hey, it's words of John Calvin, right? Similarly, John Calvin wrote that we shall never be fit for the service of God if we look not beyond this fleeting life. There is more than this life, and living this life for the life to come is what matters. John's gospel gives us a glimpse into that life beyond this world. As we look at the whole of John's gospel, we see things differently. Jesus' ministry begins in chapter 2 when John writes, "On the third day," intentionally he wrote that, "on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee." And yeah, we're probably all familiar. This is where Jesus turns water into wine. And the head waiter says, "Oh, what a waste. You brought out the finest wine after everybody's been drinking? And there's no way they can fully appreciate this amazing wine. What a waste." In the chapter just before this, in chapter 11, it spends the entire chapter talking about the death of Lazarus and how Jesus hears about it and says, he's just mostly dead. He's not fully dead. And he waits. And people are saying, "Jesus, why don't you go? What's happening?" And yet he raises Lazarus from the dead after he's been dead for 4 days. And we read in the verses that follow today's reading that word of this event of Lazarus being brought back to life spreads all over, and that many people desert the Jewish chief priest's teachings. And they say, "No, we want to follow this Jesus guy. Forget the religious leaders of the day. This guy's doing something great." This event, recorded only in John's gospel, happens just before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, emphasizing, connecting Jesus' power over death, foreshadowing his own death and resurrection. Live life to its fullest. To live life to the fullest means more than just knowledge. In today's story, we see life being lived out to the fullest in many ways. The story of Mary's anointing, it stands in contrast to many of the ideas of Christians today, that what matters most is belief in Jesus. If that were the case, then John would have told us, this is what Mary believed. But Mary's action, it's different. It's even different than what most people believed should be done. Some would say it was scandalous for a woman to be using her hair to dry off his feet. It's a little bit too sensual. Oh, that, no. That's beyond that PG rating. And some would say, "Oh, what a waste." Some would say, "That's holy anointing. That's right out of the Old Testament." I doubt that Mary had a full understanding of all that was about to happen to Jesus and the ways in which her actions would impact not only those in the room, but even us in present day and people for all time to come. She was preparing for Jesus' death, whether she knew it or not. It's a mystery beyond human understanding of the multitude of ways in which her faithful actions resonate deeply with what we know of Jesus' kingdom. We could spend hours making all sorts of different connections. And then there's Martha. We don't know too much about Martha from this story alone, but when we read alongside the other stories of Martha, we know that she was passionate about hosting and serving Jesus. She also complained, "Jesus, would you tell Mary? She's supposed to be helping me out here. She's just sitting there at your feet." And Jesus says, "No, she's chosen the one thing that is right." Mary and Martha, they're different. Lazarus, they were all siblings, and yet they're all different. Each had a different way in which they were called to serve Jesus and to serve others. They each had different purposes in life. And Jesus encourages that. He doesn't say, "Oh, you should all be cookie cutters and all be just alike." No. Each of us are created with unique gifts and passions. We're all to be joining together in harmony to further the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How are you living that out? How would you like to live that out? How should we, as a household of ministry, how should we be living out the varied giftedness that we have to be the body of Christ? We also see in this story that there are those who claim to have generous attitudes towards helping others. Oh, they just look so amazing. I mean, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, he condemned Mary's waste of this expensive perfume. I mean, this was a year's wages. If you saw somebody take a year's wage and just toss it to the wind, you'd probably be a little frustrated. Judas says, this could have been given to the poor. Now, personally, I think that was kind of an afterthought after he gasped at this and condemned her to try to save face and make himself look a little better, because we're told here that his motives were not about providing for the poor. He saw a year's wages that could have gone into the treasury bag of the disciples, which he held on to and he dipped into fairly regularly. We all know a Judas or two in our lives, and if we're really, really honest, at least in some small way, each one of us, we've at least had those Judas-like moments in our own life at some point or another. Sometimes what seems like a waste to one person is actually a holy anointing for a needed ministry, maybe a needed ministry that we don't know about yet. It's easy for us to critique, to look back in hindsight. It's easy for us to look at other people. And yet Jesus says, no. Take that log out of your own eye before you look at the speck in the other's. As we begin this final journey of Lent, as we prepare for Holy Week, next Sunday, it's going to be Palm Sunday. We remember when Christ came into town with shouts of Hosanna. And yet a few days later, that same crowd condemned Jesus to death, shouting, "Crucify him." And the world went black. And then the earth shook, and Jesus was alive. And he appeared to the disciples, to others, and is alive today. We see an example of how Jesus lived his life to the fullest, preparing for his death. Everything he did was in preparation for his death on the cross. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew he was about to be handed over, he said, "Father, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." He knew he needed to endure the pain of the cross. What is our purpose in life? What is our ultimate goal? How do we live each day of our life to the fullest so that we leave a legacy that furthers God's kingdom? As we prepare for the events of Holy Week, may we allow the Spirit to speak to us of how we are to be living our lives, how we are to be preparing for our own death as we prepare for Jesus' death, of how we are to live our life on earth to the fullest, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven in all that we do and providing hope for a world that needs this message, that there is more than this world. May we prepare for Jesus' death, knowing that as we join with Jesus in his death, we also will join with Jesus in his resurrection, and we are able to live a full life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen.
While creeds and doctrines are not the end all, they are important. As we prepare to celebrate this holy meal, and as we respond to God's holy word, I invite you to stand as you are able, so we can proclaim together the baptism, or the creed of our baptism, our faith of our baptism, that was written in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as the ushers come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings.
Holy God, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us. We offer back with joy a portion of that. Use these gifts and use us to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen. I invite you to be seated as we prepare our hearts to share together this holy meal. This table is not a Presbyterian table. It is not the church's table. This is the Lord's table. This meal is open to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Today we will be sharing by intinction. You'll be invited to come forward, first starting with the outside sections and then from the center sections. You'll come forward and hold out your hands. A server will place a wafer in your hand. You may dip that in the cup and then partake of the meal. If you prefer, we have prepackaged kits as well with both wafer and juice in them that you may select those. And if you prefer to stay in your pew rather than coming forward, that is perfectly fine for whatever reason. Servers will come around and will serve you in your pew. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You have made a way through the sea, a path through the waters. Even now you are doing a new thing, making rivers flow in the desert, forming a people for yourself, that we might declare your praise. You anointed Jesus Christ with the gift of your Holy Spirit, a healing balm and a fragrant offering of love for the world. Jesus is our Passover, our only hope for salvation. Great is the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Remembering all your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts you have given us in your creation, that the bread we break, the cup we bless, may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Lord, hear the prayers of all our hearts. And by your Spirit, unite us with Christ and with all your church in all the world. Teach us to know the surpassing grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, sharing in his suffering and rejoicing in the power of his resurrection, pressing on toward the goal to which you have called us. We pray this through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. May all glory and honor be yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. And joining our voices with those from around the world, we pray as you have taught us, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in our lives as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We give thanks that on the night that Jesus was handed over, that he met with his disciples and he shared this holy meal. Taking the bread, he blessed God, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying, This is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup, again blessed God, gave thanks, and said, This cup is a cup of salvation. My blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. As often as we share the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we do proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in final glory. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Invite the servers to come forward to be served so that you may then serve this household of ministry.
Thank you.
God of compassion, we praise you that you look upon our frail lives with love and understanding, that you desire for us all new life in Jesus Christ. We are overwhelmed by your love, which goes to the cross for us, endures the grave, and leads us to new life. By your Spirit, strengthen our souls to be brave and bold in Christ's service. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, Be Thou My Vision. May this be our prayer. As you go out into the world to serve those whom God places in your path, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.